You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video, gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. This week, John is afraid of the dark, Steve rides to hell and back, then plays with Azuya, and Tony fills in for Kev, upping the sarcasm quotient by a factor of 7.
Hello, you are, of course, listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming.
Woo! I'm not doing this anymore.
Why not? What's wrong with you?
Because it's a new era.
It's a new era?
It's a new era of Blast Processing. These old tired jokes are being just shuttled away.
This is the official podcast of all things video gaming.
Gadget.
Oh, he doesn't know!
And gear related.
At DVDverdict.com. That's correct. You know, as usual, I'm Steve. I got John. And holy shit, Kevin's gotten a lot taller. Wait.
And prettier.
Wait, you're not Kevin. Who are you?
I'm Tony.
We have Tony, who is an imposter.
I'm sitting on a toilet.
Oh.
I'm not actually, but I want to be.
There you have it. Welcome. We've brought along our esteemed colleague, Mr. Tony, who we've talked about in the past, usually in relation to Mad Street Fighter skills.
Yes. Fuck Street Fighter Ultra.
There you go. Mm. Did we talk about that last week? I think we did, didn't we, John?
Yeah, we did. Actually, I want Tony's opinion on that.
Okay, well, you know what Tony's opinion is going to be on that. He's one of those Evo toe suckers, man.
Tony, what is your opinion on Ultra Street Fighter 4?
I haven't played it, so I can't form an opinion. But I'm for it. The more Street Fighter games... I'd do a Street Fighter game every 2 months, man.
Even if it was just a reiteration of 4?
Oh, fuck. Even if they added, like, 3 frames of range on Sea Viper's medium crouch kick, and, like, that little update would be... I'd go buy it.
Well, you see, but they're not just going to do that. They're going to add 3 frames of range to... to her kick, and they're going to do something to make Cammy slower, just to make me angry.
I can't believe I once considered myself to be a hardcore Street Fighter. Not I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, you guys just, I'm not so hardcore, I guess.
Well, you don't have to be hardcore.
I enjoy Street Fighter.
Well, there you go.
It's fun.
Yeah.
More characters is cool, but
hardcore's overrated.
Okay, fair enough. Now I feel good again.
I got the new characters, though, are they just lifted straight out of Street Fighter Cross Tekken?
Yes, but they've been completely remodeled, retextured, reshaded, so they don't...
Okay, so they haven't been lifted straight out of Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
No, the characters have, but it's
new character models, yes. And their moves and everything have all been redone to fit into Street Fighter 4's balance better.
Yeah.
And the unannounced fifth character, it better be Geese Howard.
No, that's not going to happen.
I know. It's just that game needs a better final boss than Sith.
The unannounced fifth character, it was announced yesterday or today,
really?
That he's not, this is going to be the first fighting game he's in. He's been a Street Fighter character, but he hasn't been a playable character in a fighting game yet, so...
Oh my god, it's the guy with the vodka bottle in Zangief's background.
No, man, it's the beer from his ending.
Yes!
I wonder who it is.
It's Mikhail Gorbachev.
It could be Mike Hager. No?
Mike Hager's been in a fighting game, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true, yeah. Unless Zangief's got a costume. Hagar's costume.
He does.
They wouldn't do that.
Maybe Cody. No, Cody's in it already. What am I thinking?
Yeah. Cody and Guy are in it.
Yeah. I wonder who it could be.
I was hoping for Eagle.
Oh, from...
He's been in a fighting game before.
He was in Alpha, wasn't he?
He was in Capcom versus SNK.
Capcom versus SNK.
He was in Alpha 3 for PSP as well.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah.
But again, he was just stripped out of that Capcom.
Maybe it's the dude with the ninja claw from the first one.
Geki.
The ninja.
Maybe.
That would be cool. I don't think it's going to be, because that would be too good. And Capcom's got to do something goofy.
they will do something goofy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the monk from the first game with the crazy eyebrows, the guy who stole Ryu's eyebrows.
He had to fight his way through fighting streak.
No, that's not, sorry, Ryu has eyebrows. It's Guile who doesn't have eyebrows. That's why Guile's always angry looking.
Yeah, because he doesn't have eyebrows.
Yeah.
You know what that was? That was a hazing prank. He went to sleep early while I'm watching one of the other guys in his squadron shaved his eyebrows, and they never did grow back.
They just grew straight into his hair.
Yeah, that's what happened.
He woke up with Sao, didn't have any eyebrows, and they blamed Ken.
Anyway.
And that's why he hates Shoto characters.
We might as well get the good out of the way before we get to the bad, and wish everybody a happy Shadowrun Returns Day.
Woo-hoo!
As we record this, it's July 25th. It is Shadowrun Returns Day on Steam. Sorry if you're an iOS user like myself, you got to wait till early next week, but you know, at least we're getting it.
It's not just out for Steam, is it?
Right now, yeah.
You can get it DRM free somewhere, can't you? Like, if you
maybe Gamers Gate or GOG or something. I haven't seen it on GOG though.
Okay, I knew they were releasing it, like the Steam version and the DRM version, like separately.
Oh, okay. Unless they got it on their own website.
Maybe
that's what it is. That could be.
Might just be for Kickstarters too.
Yeah.
Because they promised Kickstarters they'd get it DRM free.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Anyway.
But either way, it's out, and I'm sure Tony can tell us a lot more about it. I played a little bit of it. I never got to experience very much, but what I saw was super fucking cool. What about you? How much have you played?
It's been out for 8 hours, and I think I played six. So I'm 6 hours into it. I had to take a break to come here and hang out with you and record this. But yeah.
You had to take a break from your PC.
Yeah, I gotta stop playing video games so I can go somewhere and talk about video games. Yeah. No, but I think it's really cool. I think it's fantastic, actually. It's very kind of, very reminiscent of the Shadowrun one. And, like, the mechanics in it in terms of when a combat breaks out and when there is combat. It's more complex than the Shadowrun, but it's not, it's pretty simplified. It's not like Final Fantasy Tactics or something like that. Or
Fallout Tactics or something.
No, nothing nothing crazy like that. And it's not even as complicated as, like, the VAT system in Fallout.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you just move around. Like, you only get two actions, and, like, it'll be a move and a shoot, or two shots, or something like that, right?
And that kind of feels more pen and paper-ish to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, rather than having action points, like, you know, like, how often do you read in a pen and paper system? You know, you can take two simple actions.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. And that's, I think that's the way they built it on purpose. It does feel like that. The storyline is really cool, too. I know you haven't gotten very far into it.
I'm hooked already, though.
But, man, it gets really cool. Like, very, I was worried it wasn't going to feel like Shadowrun because it has this kind of, like, stylized, I don't know, kind of,
that almost hand-painted look.
Almost hand-painted, like, a little bit cartoony, but not really, I don't know.
I think it looks like the new art that came around with the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, with SR4 and with the 20th anniversary edition, yeah.
Yeah. I'm on the website right now, and I'm looking at what looks like Harlequin from the Genesis game.
He's in there somewhere.
Yeah. I'm downloading this shit right now.
Jake Armitage is also in there.
Is he?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. And it's freaking awesome.
He's like your He's like your tutorial. He sort of tours you around the first little bit.
Anywhere, does he, like, did he bring the trench coat and everything with him?
Oh, yeah. The trench coat and the shades and his data jack with his magic tattoos and stuff. He's super cool. And he's funny as hell.
He is pretty cool.
He's got a really cool sense of humor, too. He's not like this grim, kind of serious character, which is, I kind of expected them to do that with him.
Yeah.
But he's,
The whole game really, like, so far, I mean, like, yeah, I've only seen maybe an hour of it, but it really seems to have Weissman's sense of humor, which is great. Like, if you've seen the Kickstarter videos and stuff like that, you know, it seems to have his sense of humor in spades. It's got a very Double Fine feel to it.
Yes. Yeah.
I've never found Shadowrun to be serious.
It has its undertones. Like, it can be dark and serious, but it always had that humorous undertone, you know?
Yeah, well, dude, it's like elves, orcs, and trolls, and magic in the future.
And dragons.
How much peyote did Wiseman consume?
I think he just thought Lord of the Rings was cool and thought Blade Runner was really cool myself.
I'm going to eat a whole bowl of mushrooms, read Lord of the Rings while I'm watching Blade Runner.
I'm going to read Snow Crash and Blade Runner, and Lord of the Rings at the same time. That's what happened, I'm sure.
No, I think Shadowrun's older than Snow Crash.
Probably, I'm not even sure. Okay, Neuromancer then.
There you go.
He sat down, read Neuromancer and Lord of the Rings at the same time, while high. And this was the end result.
Better be more to come.
I would imagine so. I would imagine. And what I played of it, I loved. I can't wait to really dig deeper into it. I'm almost kind of more looking forward to the tablet version, though. It seems like the kind of game I could really digest on a tablet, rather than sitting at my computer.
I could see that. You wouldn't get the full effect. Some of the music is really cool, and I think the little speakers on a tablet wouldn't do it justice.
I have to wear my headphones.
Well, yeah, you could do that, too. There
we go. Do I need a mouse and keyboard? Like, can I pull this off on a laptop?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah,
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I hate plugging a mouse into my laptop. It's just...
No, all the combat is turn-based, and there's no time limits for, like, chat options or anything like that.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
It's very... Yeah, I think I'm gonna pick this up. How much is it retailing for?
$20.
$10.
Twenty. Yeah.
20
okay.
Bones.
Despite me being deaf, why doesn't everyone have it?
They should.
I agree.
Well, okay, maybe they all shouldn't, but, like, people who enjoy turn-based or tactical RPGs definitely should.
Oh, shit, you can play as a drone rigger.
And that's the thing, I don't enjoy turn-based combat. I don't enjoy tactical RPG stuff.
But it's really fast.
It is really fast, and it's simplified. You get two actions.
Yeah.
None of this moving up terrain costs you X amount of points or your movement points or... You know what I mean? Using an item on somebody else costs you 36 out of 54 and a half space points. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, you get two things to do. You can move and shoot, or shoot and shoot.
Or cast a spell and shoot.
Or in my case, swing a baseball bat.
Oh, you got a baseball bat?
Yeah, I didn't buy
it. You're playing as a ganger?
Yeah, I just bought a baseball bat.
See, that's pretty awesome. The biggest thing with me, like, the only real concern I have is that it's all broken up into little arenas where you do the turn-based. Like, I'm hoping there's a sense of exploration to it.
There is. There's one really cool mission pretty early on where you're going into, like a Sprawlganger neighborhood to rescue somebody.
Okay.
And the whole thing takes place in combat turns.
Okay.
And it gives you this really cool kind of sense of urgency that you don't get when you're just running around exploring, because you get turns and you're moving, and when you hit certain areas, certain triggers happen where, like, there'll be traps or, like, guys will run out and you just sort of never know when it's going to happen.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah, it adds a really cool sense of urgency. Like, I did really enjoy that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the fact that they're going to be releasing more modules, like bigger chunks of Shadowrun as time goes on.
Well, the next one they say is Berlin. That's what they're working on internally now, is they're into Berlin, which was one of the stretch goals. And I think Tertarengire?
Yeah.
Was another one?
Yeah.
So.
It's just.
Or Tertarengire.
This looks like it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, yeah.
I certainly hope so.
And I mean, if there's already, like, it's been, what, 8 hours, and there's already a pretty extensive module out there.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, that's not even finished. That's just, like, the beginning.
Yeah, they redid a couple of guys, or one guy, or a team of guys. Anyway, a community-created thing is they started remaking the old Super Nintendo Shadowrun in this brand-new engine.
That's fantastic.
And they've got the whole first part. I only played up to, like, the part where you first get a gun. Like, I just tested it out.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. It's done so well, and, like, a lot of the music is... I'm not sure if it's the same, because I can't remember it exactly, but it's similar. It's different from what's in the actual game.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that to me, like, and I said that today while I was watching the download indicator, while I was watching the progress bar on the download. I thought to myself, I was on the site, of course, reading about the editor and all of that kind of stuff, or I was reading a review, and they were talking about the editor. And the first thing I thought was, how long is it going to be before someone recreates the SNES game in this, right?
I know.
So I'm pumped. I'm super pumped for that.
I hope somebody recreates the Genesis game, so it's actually good.
besides the Genesis one, wasn't there an old TurboGrafx one that was even shittier?
There was a Sega CD one.
Sega CD one.
Yeah,
that had like crazy anime graphics that didn't match Shadowrun at all.
Yeah, kind of like that.
I wasn't even aware of that one.
Yeah, it was a Japan only release.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not aware.
Now, supposedly it was a half decent game, though.
Yeah?
I don't know, because I've never seen anything on it, but supposedly it was a half decent game. I've only seen the pictures from the cutscenes. I think it played similar to the Genesis version.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cover right now, and yeah, that's what I remember. That guy had some pretty crazy blue hair. No, man, it looks like they took shots out of that crappy Toshinden anime and just stuck the Shadowrun logo on top of it.
Oh, God. Oh.
I feel like when you said Sega CD Shadowrun, all I could picture was, like, Dragon Warrior or Road Avenger. Those where you play through a cartoon and it's just button presses, like button prompts.
Oh, Road Avenger.
Oh, man. I played the heck
out of
that.
What was the ninja
game.
One? There was a ninja one.
Oh, there was too.
I don't even
remember. I remember there was also a helicopter one. It was Cobra Command.
That was terrible.
That's Road Avenger. There was, what was it? There was a cyberpunk one. I think it was Rise of the Dragon or something like that.
Rise of the Dragon was awesome.
That was actually a wicked game.
That was a point and click adventure game.
Yeah, it was good.
That was a fantastic game.
They called the villain the Dragon Lady. You're not allowed to like this game and make fun of Snatcher.
Dude, you haven't played it. That's all I've got to say to you.
No, I haven't, because I didn't have a Sega CD.
Yeah. Holy crap, there's a fan translation project of Shadowrun for Sega CD.
Woo! Now you need to get a working Sega CD, or an Ouya.
I have an Ouya! Can I emulate Sega CD games? Yes, I can. Yeah. I did.
Yep.
There's big news for this week. Steve has an Ouya.
Woo!
Let the emulation flow. He who controls the ROMs.
Yeah, I did buy an Ouya, actually. My initial experience actually came from Tony. Tony got a Kickstarter Ouya, right?
Mm.
Yeah, and I was pretty impressed with the little box. And then when I heard about all the friggin' black sorcery you can do with the ROMs and the sideloading and... I took the plunge. I said I had to. So that's, you know, there you go. That's my thing for the week. I bought an Ouya. I love it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think it was definitely well worth the price tag, which was a very reasonable $99. Wasn't at all outrageous. Great little controller, nice and comfortable. But if you don't like that, you can still use a PlayStation 3 controller with no real hassle. Side-loading stuff worked great. Some issues with, like, stuff that's designed for touch controls that I couldn't quite figure out, like Netflix.
You know, the middle part of the UE is a touch...
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. And I could bring up the cursor.
It took me forever to figure that out. I was like, why is a little friggin' arrow coming up all the time? I was getting furious with it, and then I looked it up. Oh, that's a touchpad.
My thumbs are enormous.
I couldn't scroll stuff over in Netflix. Like, I couldn't scroll back and forth between stuff that I'd watched and that.
Yeah.
But, I was impressed with that. But then I got the ROMs and stuff on the go, and sitting down with a complete SNES and Genesis library, all of which I own on cartridge, of course. It's all totally legit.
Yep. I see them all right here in front of me. A wall full.
Anyway, you know, just being able to play all these games just on this little box, and it's perfect. It's absolutely flawless. And the actual Ouya games, I found 3 or 4 games on the Ouya itself that were actually pretty fantastic. Grabbed Raven Sword Shadowlands, which I did have on iPad originally. The Ouya version of it, the Android version, I guess it's where it's the Tegra 3 processor and stuff, is a little more beefy than my iPad 2. It actually looked pretty stunning. And I also grabbed Shadowrun, which is, you know, your basic Gears of War clone, but it plays pretty well. It's pretty awesome. I'm super pumped with my purchase, actually.
How much were those games, those Ouya games?
Oh, they were like $4.99 each or $6.99 each or something. Cool. They were not ridiculous at all. Like, same price you'd pay on a tablet, right?
Yeah, because I was looking at Final Fantasy, but it's like $20.
That's $14.99, yeah. But the same with, like, if you go on the iPad, they're the same thing. The Final Fantasy stuff on that's like $15.
Oh, okay.
The Square Enix just charges a lot more.
Right on.
For whatever reason. That's why I haven't bought Deus Ex yet.
Because they got to pay for Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I guess.
Because, you know, 5 million copies wasn't enough.
Yeah, sadly, you know. But yeah, there it is. I got an Ouya, and it's really, really cool. I'm very happy with my Ouya.
Very cool.
It also makes a cool sound when you turn it on.
Does it?
Yeah.
Can you do an impression of it?
No.
Come on.
Kind of tribal drum beat sound, and it goes, Ouya!
Good impression. That's exactly what it sounds like, folks. That was exactly it.
Something like that. I don't fucking know. It was cool, though. Well, I was happy.
It was cool.
And you see a little sun coming up, like an African savanna kind of looking thing. Mm. It's pretty classy. I like the interface, too. It's nice and clean.
It is. It wasn't clean when I first got it.
No, I can imagine. I can well imagine.
When I first got my Kickstarter one a couple of months ago or whatever, it was, man, it was a, I don't know, it was a sloppy mess. You know how your plate looked after you had 7 or 8 sloppy joes? Like that white plate with the sauce on it?
In the industry, we call that a hot mess.
But it's not hot.
It was kind of cold.
It's cold. You're talking about like a hot mess, like, I don't know, Lindsay Lohan or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Kickstarter Ouya was a Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, it was.
It was double L.
Lindsay Lohan.
All right. We got news? We doing news?
Sure, let's give some news.
Let's do some news? Okay, well, the big news this week, of course, once again, Microsoft forces us to talk about their fucking console. Again. Xbox One has...
Actually, you know what? This is actually pretty ingenious. They're keeping it on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Well, this is what I said today to someone. I was talking to someone today about it, and I said, you know, it's freaking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Because how often has the PS4 been in the news?
Well, really, that first week when the pre-orders were 8-1.
Yeah, but how often since then have you heard talk about PS4?
You haven't.
How often have you heard talk about Xbox One?
100 times.
Constantly.
It's all negative, but 100 times.
It's still, like, awareness is there, man. And I think I almost kind of, if I didn't know better, if I didn't know that they were completely stupid and inept, I'd say they were doing it on purpose. I really would. But yeah, anyway.
So what are they doing this time?
Self-publishing is a go. They are allowing indie games on the Xbox One, which is something that, of course, they had kind of said initially was just completely locked out. Conflicting reports say that it was always a plan, and it was going to be announced at Gamescom in August, which I could kind of believe, because usually publishers do try to keep a card or two up their sleeves for Gamescom, you know, for Germany. I get a feeling the big ones this year, of course, are going to be launch dates. I think you're going to see launch dates at Gamescom in August, and launch lineups. But, I mean, I thought it was pretty cool, Microsoft. You know, whether it was a backpedal or not, I don't know. I can't say. Some people say, like I said, they say it was there all along. But to me, it kind of stinks of a backpedal, especially the way they just kind of threw it out there without any fanfare. But, you know, kudos, they're doing it. Apparently, there are strings attached. In order to get your game listed on the arcade, you do still need to have a publisher. They are still doing the using XNA, the Xbox Development Kit, that was kind of like a freeware thing you could sign up for online, and it's a pretty simple development kit. It's not really robust or overly intuitive, so you're getting pretty much the same kind of stuff you saw on Xbox 360 in the Indie Games channel.
Every member of the development team's got to have a gold membership.
But, you know, kudos, they're doing it. They're actually doing it, so you know what? Good on them. Whether or not it turns out to be a good thing, especially in the face of Sony's, you know, pretty much do what you want in terms of self-publishing and stuff, you know, it's still a lot more of an open platform. But, hell, you know what? I'm cool with it. I'm A-okay with it.
Nice.
You got anything?
Yeah, after my epic rant on Capcom last week, last episode, yeah, they turned around and announced Strider. And I looked at it at first, I was like, why didn't they just do it at E3? And then it dawned on me, oh, right, Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
They did it at Comic-Con.
They actually
did it at
Comic-Con?
Yeah. They announced a video game at a comic convention. Go figure. I don't even think there's comic books there anymore.
I don't like. I never heard a single bit of comic book news at a Comic Con. Not a single bit.
But yeah, there's a new Strider game coming. I think downloadable only.
It is downloadable only. Yeah.
And have they announced the systems yet? I don't know. PS4, Xbox One.
PS3, Xbox 360.
PS3, Xbox 360. Looks to be a Metroidvania-style title. Which, honestly, that's kind of cool, because that's what, like, the NES game was like.
I gotta say, I watched the 7 minutes of gameplay footage.
Yeah?
And it very nearly bored me to tears.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's running and slashing?
It's running and slashing, and it didn't look particularly fast-paced or like, what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't even particularly good looking. You know, like, it was just kind of retro. But not in a good way. Just kind of, you know, like kind of like Bionic Commando Rearmed. You know, it's like...
Oh, God.
It was
so
neat...
I'm going to get a headache from all the haze in the background. And
kind of like that, yeah. It didn't really blow me away.
Do you remember that one they did for PS1?
Mm-hmm.
That's Strider 2. That was like crazy super fast and awesome, but was over in 10 minutes.
Oh, Strider 2 was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was basically...
But you could finish it in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It was still great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just basically a straight port of the arcade game. That's why you could finish it in 10 minutes.
Now, I'd like to reiterate, what I meant last week wasn't to make a downloadable title. I meant for them to actually, like... make a crazy full-blown AAA game.
No, I remember when games used to get announced and have, like, a cool little tease trailer, and then in years' time, you know, you got a retail release in a box, and people were super hyped for it and lined up at game stores to buy it, and, you know, and it wasn't called Call of Duty. It was called something cool.
Like Street Fighter.
Like Street Fighter, or Strider, or whatever, you know, Devil May Cry, whatever. Grand Theft Auto. What else we got? We got any more news? Tony, you seen anything interesting? No?
Yeah, I saw a couple things interesting.
Yeah?
They probably
you
only interest me.
Well, okay.
The Dive Kick is coming out August 20th on Steam.
Oh!
For those of you unfamiliar, Dive Kick is a fighting game where you have two buttons. One is dive. Can you guess what the other one is?
Punch.
Close.
Grapple.
That's a little farther away, but still close.
Block.
Nope. It's kick. Dive and kick.
You can.
I was going to go with headbutt.
Oh, I didn't give you a chance to guess. Sorry, buddy.
Rear naked choke.
Yeah, dive kick. So it's like a... It's an indie game that Steam greenlit, and it's coming out, like, August 20th.
Isn't
and
there a PS4 version of that coming, too?
I think there is. There might be.
I think there is, yeah.
It's $10, so that's $5 per button press.
Hmm. It does look kind of cool.
It does look cool.
I didn't know there was a release date, though, so that's pretty deadly.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And what else? Oh, Ninja Turtles game. We were talking about that
earlier. There is a new Ninja Turtles game coming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's got a name. I think it's just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles shirt I'm wearing. For the special occasion.
You are wearing a Ninja Turtles shirt.
I know. So people listening can hear me talk about it.
Yeah, so they know you're a Ninja Turtles fan.
Yeah, more or less.
If I had a Shadowrun shirt, I'd be wearing it right now.
Steve, it's in Radioland, man. You can just say you're wearing a Shadowrun
shirt. I'm wearing a Shadowrun shirt right now!
Yeah, I can see it.
Herp, derp.
It says Shadowrun, never cut a deal with the dragon.
Oh!
Cool.
Oh! Yeah, it's custom. That's I so made it myself. I used my kid's glitter glue.
Is there elbow macaroni?
No, there's no macaroni.
On the back it says Armitage for Premier.
Armitage for Prime Minister.
But yeah, the new Ninja Turtles game. Not that Out of the Shell one.
Out of the Shadows. Out of the Shell. Yeah.
I don't know. Out of the Shadows. Anyway, yeah. That looks really cool, too.
So what's the deal with that? Like, if the other one's a side-scrolling beat-em-up kind of thing, what's Out of the Shadows?
Out of the Shadows is completely separate from the new cartoon show.
Oh, okay.
It's a complete reworking, reimagining of the Turtles mythos. Mm. In, like, a 3D kind of... It looks like Arkham Asylum-style combat.
Okay.
And this new one that they just announced is, like, directly relevant to the new TV show. Like,
oh, okay.
It's those Turtles.
And it's not coming for PS3, which is really lame.
That is kind of lame.
It's announced for, what was it, Xbox 360, Wii, PC, and Wii U.
Ah, PS3 will get it.
That's retarded.
They get everything.
That is insane, though. Maybe. Who announces a game in this day and age and doesn't release it for PS3?
Microsoft?
Nintendo? Okay. Fair enough. Sorry. What third-party publisher announces?
Okay.
You ass. You're fired.
The guy from Team Ninja, he hates Sony.
But isn't that Devil, whatever the fuck game he was working on, coming for PS3?
Yeah, that's never going to come out for PS3.
That's never coming out.
Never going to come out for anything.
Yeah. I got another little piece of news. This one is dedicated to my homeboy, Mr. Woolridge. Wayward Manor is the first video game from author Neil Gaiman. I know Woolridge is a big Gaiman fan. The game stars a ghost who just wants a peaceful afterlife, and in order to do so, he must kick out the people who have moved into his earthly home.
So it's Beetlejuice.
It's a Genesis game where you're a poltergeist. What was that game called?
Poltergeist, Haunting.
Was it called Poltergeist?
Or Haunting, starring Poltergeist.
Yes. Seriously? Really?
Yeah, did you play
this? This is real?
Yeah.
You guys are fucked up, man. You play some crazy shit.
It's wicked.
I'm so glad I didn't know a Sega Genesis. Until 2001.
You've never played General Chaos, so...
You've never played General Chaos? Steve!
What's General Chaos?
Genesis does.
I'm not gonna...
What, Nintendo don't?
Genesis does.
I had a PlayStation 2 by the time I had a Genesis, okay?
Fair enough. You gotta play General Chaos, man.
I will. You know what? I'll probably play it on my Ouya.
Do it.
I could do that. Is that the General Chaos, the top-down Jackal-type game where you're playing as the dude with the spear? And... No? Okay, no. Never mind. I forget. I said anything.
No. It's like a battle arena game. It's strange.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down.
Pretty cool.
You said the words battle arena
and
not Toshinden, so...
No.
I'll give it a try. But yeah, anyway, Neil Gaiman, game, you know, ghost, scaring people who look like funky little, they almost look like the minions from Despicable Me, if they weren't yellow and had two eyes and were normal people.
They look like, I don't know, like egg cup people.
Egg cup people, there we go.
Toilet paper rolls with googly eyes.
Yeah, yeah, they look like something one of my kids would bring home from kindergarten,
which
is kind of cute, I guess. It takes place in Gothic New England,
Ooh.
And it spans the 1920s into the future.
Ooh.
And Gaiman said his inspiration came from such films as Arsenic and Old Lace and The Man Who Came to Dinner. That's interesting. I don't know how I feel about that.
Kevin's going to love that game.
He describes the game as lighthearted and goofy. It's inspired by Arsenic and Old Lace and The Man Who Came to Dinner. But it's lighthearted and goofy. Oh, Neil Gaiman, never change. This is why I love him. I have no idea when or what it's coming out for, and from what I've seen, neither does Neil Gaiman. I'm assuming it's going to be PC. Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be like Steam. Oh yeah, here we go, PC, Mac, and tablets. There we go. Never mind. Now it's all coming together.
When they say tablets, do they mean like
Android
iOS,
iOS
stuff or Android 2?
Usually when they say tablets, they mean both.
Okay.
So there you go, Mr. Woolrich. There's something for you to look forward to on your iPad. You'll be back in by the time that comes out, though.
Unless he decides to stay.
He won't stay in Trinity.
Why?
Because once the shows are over, he's got no reason to stay in Trinity.
There's three times as many things to do there.
Three times as much nothing, I guess. Zero times zero. It's anything times zero is still zero.
He's still got video games there, man.
He does have video games.
He can live a peaceful, happy life in Trinity.
He's got a pretty cool house.
Really?
Yep. He's living in a pretty cool house. And Kev, if you're listening, we hope you're doing very well with the shows, buddy.
We know he is. He's awesome.
Yeah. Anything else, John? You got anything else?
Yeah, Eidos Montreal founder, forgive me if I mispronounce this, Stéphane Dateau.
Get Gabe on and ask him how to pronounce it.
I'll be sure to do that.
Call him right now. Is he online?
Stefan D, that's what I'm going to call him.
Stefan
Drop some D's. He resigns over differences with Square Enix. I gotta stop drinking when we record. I really do.
But drinking is fun.
You gotta stay hydrated, man. It's like 48 million degrees.
It is.
Yeah, he has left Square Enix, citing a lack of leadership, lack of courage, and lack of communication.
Lack of courage? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, the other two, leadership and communication, I could give him, but courage...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
Davis, maybe Hitman Absolution, Tomb Raider. That shows distinct courage on my part.
And they got Thief coming out, don't they?
And Thief, yeah. You know, I mean, like, yeah. I can't say courage because, you know, they took a beloved franchise that, it wasn't beloved in recent years, but, you know, still pretty held in high regard franchise and completely reinvented it from the ground up. With Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And basically threw an unlimited amount of money at a studio to do it. You know, that game was, in every respect, a AAA production, you know? That takes guts.
Now, I do think their expectations were a little bit insane for sales.
My God, numbers. Yeah, for a game to sell 5 million copies and still be considered a failure, that's retarded.
I just don't know why everyone is... They just decided this year to be angry at Square Enix. It's probably because this is the year where, like, their entire lineup is all Final Fantasy.
Hey, I've been playing the Final Fantasy 14 beta, and it's fucking awesome, okay? That's all there is to it.
They did release Final Fantasy 7 on PC, and then dick around with all the music.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, why would they do that?
I don't know. To make people angry at them.
There we go.
So people can leave.
And then, like Stefan D.
Yes. And then you can have news.
That's right. That's why they did it. That's still pretty horrible.
Yep. I know. Can't believe they changed that music.
There's a Gran Turismo movie coming.
Woo!
Didn't they already make that?
That was Gran Torino.
That's not the same thing?
Well, there's one that's about race cars, and the other is about a crooked old man who bashes Koreans.
It's a race car racism. That's close enough.
There's race in both, yes, okay.
Racing and racism.
Yeah. Similar words.
You can see how I could get confused.
Two entirely different things.
Oh, come on. Turismo and Torino and then racing and racism. They're practically the same movie in my head, man.
Okay. Gran Turismo, the movie. How would you make it?
It'd be an episode of Top Gear.
That would be incredible. I would watch it. You have my money. Take my money, John Mercer. What are you, Tony?
How would I watch?
Gran Turismo, the movie.
Oh,
pitch your Gran Turismo, the movie.
There'd be a racist old guy.
Yeah.
And he'd be driving fast cars.
Down.
The end. As if nothing would get resolved. It would just be an hour and a half of this racist old dude. Driving through some inner city place, just calling people.
So it'd be a Darren Aronofsky movie.
Sure.
No, man, Nicholas Winding or Refn or whatever the frick his name is. He could get Ryan Gosling into some old man makeup.
A role where Ryan Gosling has to move his eyebrows.
Okay, my Gran Turismo movie would be a little more pure, I think. I'd go for, like, that old-school racing movie feel. Not like Drive or Driven or whatever the frick it was and Too Fast.
Are you talking about Le Mans or Le Mans?
Le Mans. Stuff like that, yeah.
Like, you know? Caddyshack?
No, not Caddyshack. There was racism in Caddyshack, but no racing.
Sorry. I'm constantly confused. I'll just shut up now.
No, something like, you know, like a nice, respectable racing movie like you don't see anymore. You know, get into the, like, the...
Smoking the Bandit.
Yeah, like Smoking the Bandit.
Smoking the Bandit. Bootlegging. I got one. Yes, 1 point, Tony.
Yeah, I'd do something like that. Set it in like the European GT circuit or something like that. Right? But there you go. That's me because I'm a car.
I just wouldn't do it.
That would be a better move, I think.
You know why? It's a fucking simulator. There's no story. There's just a shit ton of cars.
Yeah, but Le Mans is just a race, and Steve McQueen made it badass, man.
Yeah, it's because he got drunk and hit people.
True.
You could totally make an intense, realistic racing movie. You totally could. Decent actors who took the material seriously, keep it away from Hollywood screenwriters. You know? Don't just make it about car crashes, which I know they'll do.
You can do any movie, though. You could do a Flight Simulator 95 movie, man.
You could. Totally. Just have it, you know, like a total head trip. You don't have people in the plane and bad shit going on and everybody thinking they're going to crash.
Yeah.
And then the plane lands and they open up the door and step out and it's all a simulator. Whoa!
What a twist!
Mind blown. Gran Turismo, the movie. Coming to you 2000... never.
In 3D.
Real D 3D.
In IMAX. 688 attacks of the movie. filmed in IMAX.
They already made that. It was called K-19, The Widowmaker. Or Hunt for Red October. One of those two.
Don't confuse them, because one of them's a good movie and the other one's a big pile of poop.
What?
Look, this isn't a movie podcast. Move on. Video games.
Okay, video games. All right, I'm going to make it a movie podcast. Ambush topic. Most grossly inappropriate video game turned into a movie. Go.
Gran Turismo. New guy.
Gran fucking Turismo.
Other than Gran Turismo.
Most inappropriate movie turned into a video game?
No.
Gran Torino. I win. I win this competition.
What about you, John? What do you got? Anything? Nothing?
Yeah, no, here's one. And I actually like this movie, so this hurts a little bit. Wing Commander.
Oh.
Let's make a movie about a niche PC game 10 years after it came out.
Yeah, but Wing Commander is about guys in spaceships. That pretty much adapts to anything.
Yeah, but it's just they just took a generic guys in spaceship script and slapped Wing Commander on it.
Yeah, but Wing Commander was a generic guys in spaceships. It invented the generic guys in spaceships blueprint. So I think it was a really clever adaptation.
I like Wing Commander, but that movie sucked.
Hey, we'll not hear you talking bad about Wing Commander. That movie was awesome. Call it Saint Paladin.
Every time Saffron Burrow speaks, I just want to drive nails into my eyes.
Your unprovoked hatred of Saffron Burrows will not stand, okay?
And that movie has Matthew fucking Lillard in it, and I would rather listen to him than Saffron Burrows.
Hey, don't diss Shaggy. I bet he loved it too. Man, I'm in a video game movie. This is awesome. And then he saw it on opening night and said, wow, that sucked. Either that or he was high and just thought it was awesome.
Oh, shit, I forgot about Legend of Chun-Li. Probably because I didn't see it.
I don't think I did either, actually.
I remember reading the Wikipedia plot synopsis, and at the time, whoever worded it was like 12, and said that Balrog punched Chun-Li's mother and then she died of cancer.
What?
Wait a second. That is a little-known special attack of Balrogs.
It's his command throw.
It is his command throw.
Wow.
Long acting. Takes a while, but it gets there eventually.
It's got like a 15-second delay.
It's impossible to do.
Alright, most inappropriate video game to turn into a movie. Or vice versa.
Wait, is one that's actually done, or are we...
No, this is theoretical.
Oh, wow, it just opened up a whole bunch of options. Man.
I haven't really got anything offhand, because I didn't really think all that carefully about it.
Super Mario Brothers.
They made a Super Mario Brothers movie. It sucked.
I know, that's why I said it. Keep up.
Okay, Street Fighter, but stick with me now, guys, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Street Fighter, but have it take place in this, like, Bosnia-style war zone, where Bison is, like, this evil tyrannical ruler.
Mm.
And you could have, like, Chun-Li there as, like, a reporter or something.
Right.
And you could have, like, Ryu and Ken could be there, but they can't just be there to fight, because, I mean, it's, like, a war zone. So it'd have to be, like, know, black market arms dealers or something like that.
Okay.
You know?
Sounds good.
And you could have, like, the local tribal gang there is led by Sagat. There you go.
That'd be all right, yeah. You know, I could see this. I could see this happening.
Yeah. I think it'd be pretty cool.
I'd like to see Sagat played by a Native American.
Really? He's from Thailand, though. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
Or would it?
I'm just confused.
You can't just say that and have it make sense, John. No, there's a guy in the beginning of Troy who looks exactly like Sagat.
Yeah?
He's some huge bald guy, which is what Sagat is.
There you go.
Oh, that's Nathan Jones.
Okay.
You're talking about Bo Agrius, right? The dude Brad Pitt stabs in the neck?
Yeah, him.
Yeah, that's Nathan Jones.
Okay.
MMA guy?
No, he used to be a pro wrestler. He's been in a bunch of movies. Usually playing a big, giant Russian dude.
Who was he as a pro wrestler?
He's Nathan Jones. He went by his real name.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was in...
It's unimaginative.
He was in the new Conan movie.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He was in that stupid one with Steve Austin a couple of years ago. The Condemned.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought he was the big dude from 300, but he wasn't.
The big Persian guy?
Yeah.
Nope.
No?
He wasn't, no. No. I could tell you that, not on IMDb.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he does look like Sagat.
Call of Duty.
Except he's not Thai.
Call of Duty, the movie.
Haven't they made like 1,000 of those?
Sure.
Go totally over the top with it, though. Have him blow up the moon.
We're going to blow up the ocean.
Blow up the ocean. Block out the sun.
A coalition of evil terrorists led by North Korea, Iraq, Russia, and Somalia has blown up the ocean.
But the real villain is an American general played by Lance Henriksen.
Who spends the entire movie monologuing about having a bigger stick. Makes a ton of sense. Let's do it.
There you go.
Jesus, I'm getting a headache. John, you got a review for us or what? What do we got for this week?
I got a review, but it's just going to give you a worse headache.
Oh, man, it can't be any worse than what I got.
No, it's probably not. I know what you've reviewed.
That's why you can go first.
Yeah, I took Dirk for a spin.
Dirk?
Yeah, that looked really cool.
Yeah, it did look cool from 12 feet away. And, you know, according to the cover art, once upon a time it was the recipient of a Best in Show title at
E3.
What? Like 19.
Yeah, there's a little thing on there, E3 2012 Best RPG.
It's an RPG?
Maybe there's a nominee for it.
It's an RPG?
Kind of. It's more like a shitty, really crappy stealth game. You know, worse stealth mechanics than Assassin's Creed.
Did you buy... What? Hey...
Which never really felt like a stealth game.
I thought we weren't going to bring up stupid people's uneducated online internet comments.
Yeah, but it was a great segue.
Oh, okay. Segue.
It was.
Come segue. Yeah, no, Derek is just...
Speaking of old jokes.
I threw that one out for Kevin.
Okay, fair enough.
You're going to love the name of the protagonist in this game, though.
Yeah.
Eric Bain.
I'm buying this fucking game tomorrow. How much is it?
And Eric Bain, $39.99, I believe.
Oh, did you buy it or did you rent it?
No, I rented it.
Okay.
I'm not going to fucking buy that.
I was going to say, if you bought it...
You out of your goddamn mind. I didn't know his name was Eric Bain. If I had, I would have bought it. But yeah, like, he wakes up in a nightclub with no memory of how he got there. And he's seeing all this crazy, trippy Max Payne shit with angels and everything.
Man, if I had a dollar for every time that happened to me.
He stumbles up to the bar and finds out it's a nightclub for vampires.
I haven't had happen.
Like in Blade.
He's been bitten by a vampire, and unless he drinks from his sire or an equally powerful vampire, he's going to turn into a mindless ghoul.
Oh.
And that's the whole thing in the game, is him sneaking around trying to get close to... none of these powerful vampires want him, so he's trying to get close to one to drink from them.
Okay.
And I thought it would have been cool if he was like Bane from Batman's little brother or something. And so I tried to warn you not to hang out in the nightclub with the gothic kids.
You need to put a bit more muffle on your voice. I almost understood you then.
That's because they redid it in post, see?
Oh, okay, gotcha. Made it sound easier to understand, yeah.
But the shitty thing with Derek is stealth games are really, really hard to pull off. You know, you need responsive controls, and you need good level design. And for every, what's a couple examples here? You know, Splinter Cell Conviction, or Batman... Arkham City, or the first couple Tenchu games, or Metal Gear Solid. For every one of them, there's a fucking Tenchu Z or a Dark out there. Mm. And it's dragged down by just this collection of issues. You know, it's hobbled at a fundamental level. The controls are really clunky, they're really unresponsive. Your moves are extremely limited. He walks around really slowly. He has one offensive attack. He's got this really clumsy punch that you can throw. He can't jump, and you got a really crappy teleport. It kind of feels like the one from Dishonored, only shitty.
Okay.
You know, he can, like, they call it the shadow leap. You know, you can jump from shadow to shadow, only you get stuck on boxes all the time.
That sounds awesome.
And you've got like this, you can turn on his vampiric senses to be able to, you know, slow down time and see like the outline of an enemy or whatever, only it only works half the time. A lot of time the aura doesn't appear.
That also sounds awesome, and by awesome I mean shitty.
And, you know, like, his shitty little punch, you can't survive in combat, so your only option is to stealth kill people. And so, I mean, it just become the entire game is just sneak, kill a guard, hide for a minute, sneak, kill a guard, hide for a minute, sneak, kill a guard, hide for a minute. And they tried to introduce RPG mechanics, and, you know, if you successfully kill someone without alerting any enemies, you get a bunch of bonus XP, and, you know, he can level up and unlock new abilities, but all the abilities are fucking useless.
Wicked.
Like colorblind mode.
And so you get, like, these, it's just with each passing sloppy kill, it just, the whole game blends into this murky, shitty soup. And like the level designs are not clever enough to support the gameplay, so it feels like a really, really crappy version of Bomberman.
Wow.
Okay. What kind of useless abilities are we talking about? Are we talking about like level 2 sense turtles?
No, it's like it's stuff, you know, it makes his vampiric vision last a little bit longer.
Generate high.
Yeah, and just...
That wouldn't be useless. Maybe in the context of the game it would be useless, but it'd be cool to be able to generate pie.
I think it'd be cool. Sense Turtles.
Sense Turtles.
But, and the level design really sucks, which is sad, because there's some cool locales you end up in. Like, you'll end up in this creepy castle that feels like the one from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Or, like, a museum that's kind of, like, ripped right out of Hitman.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
But just, it plays like shit, and it looks even worse. And I thought at first the game kind of looked cool. It's got...
it's got that comic book style, doesn't it?
It's kind of... It's cel-shaded. It kind of looks like... you remember that one 13 for PS2?
Yep.
It
looks like that, but a little tiny bit better. Only 13 came out in 2004.
I kind of miss cel-shading. You know, the only game that really did cel-shading or pushed cel-shading this gen was Borderlands.
Dude, I know. I really miss it, too. Do you remember that... What was that awesome fucking racing game that was cel-shaded?
Automotorista.
Cell Damage.
Yeah.
No, Automotorista. Cell Damage was terrible.
I thought...
No, yeah, Cell Damage was the City Mario Kart one. No, this one was... It was like Gran Turismo, but it looked like a Japanese comic book.
Yeah, that was Automotorista. That game was pretty awesome, actually. Hard as shit, but pretty awesome.
Well, since everyone thought it was going to be an arcade racer because of the look of it, and it came out and it was Hardcore Simulator.
sim with a lot of drifting, so it was kind of Ridge Racer-ish.
Well, you know, Japs, they love that. I can't believe I just said Japs. You know those Orientals, they love...
See? Racing and racism. Hand in fucking hand.
But yeah, no. Get him back on top. Trying to make myself sound less horrible. Dirk looks kind of cool from a few feet away, but when you're actually sitting down playing it, it's really bland and blurry. Okay. There's no detail in any of the character models, and the art design just sucks. The voice acting is horrible, and everyone talks like Alex Mercer.
Oh, god damn it.
And the dialogue's really, really crappy, ripped-off Max Payne dialogue.
Okay.
The pounding in my heart is throbbing in my skull.
Does he ever call blood, like, sanguine wine or something like that?
Oh, yeah, it's got all that drippy, sparkly Twilight shit.
Wicked.
And that's what's kind of sad here, is video games take a really long fucking time to make. You know, it's a couple years, right?
Yep.
And I'm sure this was a good idea when it was first conceived, but in that time we've had 4 Twilight movies, and, you know, True Blood came out, got super popular, and then started to suck, and vampires just aren't the cool thing anymore.
I think you're overestimating how long this game took to put together. I think it's a pretty low-budget, quickly done game.
No, dude, I think this thing's been in production since 2008.
Oh, Jesus. That is pretty terrible, then.
Yeah. I'm going to take one out of my review. This game sucks as vigorously as any vampire.
As someone who has reviewed several vampire features for DVD Verdict,
yeah,
I'm so fed up with the vampire metaphors. Like, this, let's see if this vampire movie really sucks or really bites.
Okay, fine. Here, I'll. What was my closing one? The night is dark and full of inadequacy.
Okay, well, that's all right. That's pretty cool. I can handle that.
Yeah, it's just... I suppose I should be grateful that it was vampires and not zombies.
You should be.
But, you know, I'm waiting for a vampire game that's going to be as awesome as Fright Night, and it's never going to happen.
Someday. World of Darkness, the pre-alpha, whatever the heck it was I played with, that was kind of cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I went before that.
No, see, I don't want to get into the whole mythos of vampires. I just want... You know, I want Legacy of Kain again.
I'd love to see a new Legacy.
That's my problem, is I want Legacy of Kain.
Yeah, that would be amazing. It'll never happen.
I just want, you know, dark, gothic, mean, and nasty.
Dude, they remade Tomb Raider.
Yeah, but
Tomb Raider sold 5 million copies, and it wasn't enough.
That's foolish.
I agree. There was talk of this, what was it, War for Nosgoth or whatever, the online PC-only one. It was all set in Nosgoth, but didn't actually have Kain or Raziel in it.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I was playing... I played something. It certainly was something. What is undoubtedly going to be one of the most notorious games of this generation. I did sit down and spend some quality time, and I do mean quality time, with Ride to Hell Retribution, 1%.
Which is, that's its score on Metacritic.
No, I think it's 19 out of 100 right now.
Yeah. I'm just excited that the worst game of this generation isn't like a crappy zero-budget PC game that no one's heard about.
It is kind of a zero-budget PC game. It just got ported to Xbox and PS3. Initially, I picked up the PS3 version. And upon the recommendation of the dude at the game counter at the store in which I purchased the game, he told me, you know, don't open it. Read some reviews first or watch some gameplay. It's supposed to be an unplayable mess. And I thought, you know what? Biker game, $29.99. Sounds kind of cheesy, but how bad could it be? I decided to come home and watch some gameplay video before I unsealed that sucker. then I tried out the Steam version on PC. And, yeah, wow. I brought back the PlayStation 3 copy. That was returned promptly. Where to begin? The game starts, you know, you get a title screen, which is kind of cool. It's not like an old retro motorcycle magazine, and there's some kind of crazy, you know, nondescript 70s-sounding classic rock tune playing. And, all right, biker game, cool. I'm down, you know, Road to Hell, Ride to Hell Retribution, patch-looking stuff. Hey, Sons of Anarchy, whatever, cool, okay. Press start, okay. Turret sequence, what the fuck? Dead, what? Okay, try again. Pass, okay, cool. Wait, what's going on? Now I'm in a fist fight with somebody. What? Now I'm jumping my motorcycle over the spinning blades of a helicopter. And then the game started. And I came home from Vietnam and my brother died.
What?
And I drove on some roads that were really long and straight and had a lot of construction going on for some reason, but no one else on them. Then I got to, like, the first, I guess, open world segment of the game. Talked to some prostitute who offered me sex in a very, very, very nondescript manner. And then beat up some other old fat dude and had sex with some chickie he was with. Again, in very, very ridiculous fashion. It was insane. Absolutely horrible. Then, you know, I was on a street, and I was like, okay, cool, here we go, open world, all right, you know, this game has actually been kind of fun so far. So I start to walk to just try to explore, and the game tells me, no, you can't go that way, go this way, and turns me around, and points me directly towards my next objective. At which point I said, fuck this, and I uninstalled it. It looks terrible, the voice acting is terrible, the story is the biggest kind of cheese. You can do 600-meter-long power slides. You can basically power slide as long as you want. You can press a button to power slide and just keep power sliding at infinity. You can power
even
slide.
Even when you're off your motorcycle?
No, you power slide. You just go... you drop your bike.
Yeah, no, Tony, the motorcycle controls, it's not. You're not actually controlling the motorcycle. It's like one of those crappy Flash games that appears on the side of a website.
No, you are controlling the motorcycle. The motorcycle has control. It doesn't have physics, but it has control. It just kind of floats there. And well, like I said, you can power slide and you can just go and you can jump a ramp power sliding. You can just put your bike into a power slide and jump ramps. It is the most ridiculously broken, flawed, horribly executed, miserable, lame, unfinished piece of shit I've ever seen in my life, and it deserves to be the third lowest rated game on Xbox 360 on GameRankings.com.
Third.
Bad words and titties.
What third?
I'm not sure what the other two are, because I didn't have the intestinal fortitude to look.
So it is the third one.
Third
and
lowest.
It deserves it.
It totally deserves it. It probably deserves to be the worst. But I'm assuming the two lower rated ones are probably Kinect games, so maybe they do deserve it a little more, I'm not sure. But it's a pretty fucking terrible game. It's a measly waste of existence. And you can't even... The most enjoyment I had out of the game was... Not to pump websites and stuff, but go to GameInformer.com. They got this video series called Test Chamber. And what it is basically they bring games into the office that one of the staff is reviewing. And usually it's like a big, like, you know, they did it for The Last of Us, or they did it for Borderlands 2, where one guy puts it on the system and starts playing, and everybody kind of gathers around, they just start talking about it, and they do a video capture of it, and everybody kind of comments over it while they're playing it, you know? They did one for Ride to Hell Retribution, and I nearly pissed myself. I was laughing at it that hard. It was absolutely amazing, and it's well worth. That's the most enjoyment you can get out of this game is by watching this Test Chamber video. It was absolutely wretched, awful, terrible, horrible, repulsively disgusting. It was a terrible game. It was really, really bad. Don't anybody ever play it, ever. It's a crime against humanity. It will cause your brain to bleed out through your ear.
And okay.
That's it. That's all I have to say about it.
Wow. Yeah. Guys, if I could offer you a helpful piece of advice,
yeah,
play better fucking games.
No, man, it's that time of summer where we get nothing but shit.
That's not.
And this is
you get Shadowrun, man.
What?
You get Shadowrun. Fuck your dark. Get Shadowrun.
But the point I'm trying to make here is instead of everyone, releasing their games in the fall or in the early part of the year, start throwing some shit out in July. You will make mad cash.
Oh, we're going down this road now.
It's true. We're
getting greedy.
Nobody goes outside anymore, so.
This is true. Everybody just plays games now. God knows my kids are fucking glued to the iPad and the Xbox 360.
And the world is better for us.
If you say so.
So you mowed your lawn for nothing.
I did. I really did. I whacked that jungle for nothing. I felt like I was in jungle land.
They need to make DSs and PSPs shit so you see it better in the sun.
Then kids will go outside.
Yeah.
It's a shame all this augmented reality shit didn't take off. You know, like the PSP game where you had the camera attached and you could, like, see stuff in the real world.
You just wait till everyone got a set of them Google Glass goggles.
Oh, Jesus.
That'll be it.
Apparently they made the first porno with Google Glass this week.
Really?
Yeah. This is the word on the street.
That's hilarious. What streets do you go to, man? Jesus.
Porn Avenue.
Okay.
I don't know.
Ball Tosser Street.
I run in weird circles. that's all I got. Anybody else got anything else? Hey? What?
Breaking news. This just in.
What?
Kinect Sports Rivals delayed till after the launch of Xbox One.
Oh, I was so looking forward to that, too.
Man, me too.
I couldn't wait.
That was the must-have of Xbox One. Kinect Sports Rivals. They had, like, a wave race game. It's like Wave Race 64, but you're standing up looking like a fucking idiot.
I got a confession to make, Gus.
Yeah?
I've never played a game with Kinect.
I have. It's not good.
No. I've experienced it, but I've never played a game with Kinect.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the most experience I've had with Kinect was when we were sitting there trying to get fucking Bing to work.
Bing, grilled cheese sandwich. Yeah, you don't play Kinect. Kinect plays you, literally.
It's true.
I'm a $150 paperweight on top of your TV.
And I don't do anything.
But hey, if you turn me on, I nod.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There was one game that I did kind of enjoy for Kinect, and it was
Once Upon a Monster?
The Fable one.
Fable the Journey or whatever?
That was actually half alright. I only ever played the demo, and that's all I'd ever want to play.
I hope Larry's not listening to this episode, because he just went out and bought that game. When you said that, you just caused Larry Lockyer to go out and buy Fable the Journey.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's a Fable freak.
Oh.
He probably forgot it existed until you just said that just then.
Larry, there's a demo, buddy. Just play the demo. Let's just play it again and again, because I'm sure the rest of the game is just 66 copies of that one part where you're shooting spells.
It probably is. Do you have to do gestures for spells? Like, do you have to spell out diagrams and stuff?
No.
No?
You say, like, fireball, and you pull your arm back and throw it forward?
Fuck that game.
Best Kinect game ever, and that's saying something.
I like Once Upon a Monster.
Do you?
Yeah.
What is that about?
It's a Sesame Street game.
Oh, lovely.
Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster, when you're like, hanging out with monsters. And
didn't Double Fine make that shit?
Double Fine did make that shit. It was okay. Well, no, it wasn't really. It was a Kinect game.
Okay, like Steel Battalion.
In the realm of Kinect games, it was kind of okay, sort of, I guess.
When every other game out for your peripheral sucks.
Yeah. It's okay, Kinect. You'll always have Once Upon a Monster.
And Dance Central. Listen, buddy. Just because you got no groove, don't mean that game sucks.
I don't got no soul. I got no funk.
I got no bass left to drop.
I guess on that note, are we done? Are we done here? Anybody got anything else? You, John, you got anything to say?
Like, I got our closing statement.
Yeah, what's that?
Is that a hint that you wanted our closing statement?
I don't know, is it? You tell me.
Oh, no. I haven't been playing anything else.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, Dark sucked. I played some Super Mario Galaxy with my wife.
Why would you do that?
Because that's what they call it these days. a little bit of Super Mario Galaxy.
Sweet.
sweet Super Mario
Galaxy. I got all 120 power stars.
And it only took me 20 minutes.
Well, dude, it's a Nintendo game. It's short.
It's true.
I prefer epic length myself.
Well, I guess that's all for this week, then. We've had an ambush topic. We've had a couple game reviews. We've had some news. Inadvertent racism. Dick jokes. It's been a horrible, horrible episode. Kevin, we miss you. But I like having Tony around. This is a good group dynamic. So I guess all that's left to say is thanks for listening. We've been Blast Processing, and if you're listening to this, you are the Resistance.